Good afternoon. Welcome to the Healthy Aging Show. I'm Dennis Patuas. Blabbermouth is Dawn Del Greco. No mic is John Perry. And we're talking about issues about getting older, healthy aging, intelligent aging, lessons for life. We are brought to you by Comfort Keepers, where we assist you in establishing or maintaining a quality of life. And one of the things that we try to encourage you to do is to use it or lose it. And by that, I'm referring to brain training, cognitive training that is becoming or has become very much a topic of conversation. And with the advent of computerized programs, has become very popular and everybody seems to have one, but we have the best. With us today is Lori Contadino. She's a gerontologist and she has over 25 years experience in the field. She has a Master of Science degree in gerontology and
Thanatology.
Now, did you find out what thanatology is, Dawn?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I did, Dennis. I was hoping you were going to ask me that question.
Okay, and what did you find out?
It's actually for end of life, that correct? Grief and end of life. Yeah. Issues.
I'd never heard the term. I know of the practice, but not the term.
And I actually did look it up.
Good. Okay. I was wondering if you were. That was a test.
I know. And I'll get you back with interest on that one, Dennis.
And Lori Contadino is a staff gerontologist with the River House, which is in Greenwich, and it's the Adult Day Center, is a new facility that has relocated, and Lori runs
the Mastermind program.
And prior to that, Lori was the manager of the Greenwich Hospital Center for Healthy Aging. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for inviting me.
Dawn, I'll give it to you to start. You had a number of questions, but we're talking specifically about a program that Lori has developed called the Mastermind.
And it's a wonderful development. I actually went to an introductory two-hour class, and it's the safest atmosphere to be, and it's lovely. River House, when you walk in, has a beautiful view of a lake that you think you're actually in New Hampshire. And Lori's personality and introduction with this class, you just ease into really figuring out how to continue to keep your mind growing and keeping it fit. But more importantly, as we get older, we get concerned about this and concerned about memory. And what is the cause for our concern?
Well, I have to say that concerns about memory loss are no longer reserved just for later life. Those of us in midlife have already experienced those moments where we can't bring to mind a specific word or the name of the restaurant that we so enjoyed about a month ago, or we rush into a room only to find that we can't remember why we're there and have to go back to our original point of origin for a clue or a cue. So memory is something that is this universal phenomenon that concerns us all, and everyone is worried of the ultimate disease state in later life. But there are so many normal age-related changes that folks are not aware of, and it's important to share that information to alleviate some of the concerns and the fears that people have, and there are many.
On the humorous side, I find that I get halfway up the stairs at my house and have to return back down again.
There you are.
So there's actually some physical fitness that's going along with mm-hmm. it. There's been a lot of publicity lately about brain training and its effect on forestalling dementia. What is brain training exactly? How does it work?
Well, brain training is exercise for the brain, the same way that exercise for the physical body would enhance physical muscle, brain training would enhance your mental muscle.
Now, with weight training, for instance, or physical mm-hmm. training, we all remember the muscle-bound beach body mm-hmm. that turned to flab years later because mm-hmm. of the failure to right. keep that up. Is that something that happens with memory training?
No. You know, let's look at this in terms of much more empowering point of view. If you utilize your mental capacity to its fullest, your cognitive reserves, if you exercise your mental muscle, your ability to maintain a certain quality in your life is going to be enhanced. If you are one of those couch potatoes that just wants to sit there and take in information via the television, what you're able to do and what you're able to remember is going to be diminished.
So a one-way street.
Right.
Again, it's back to use it or lose it and,
right.
and interaction.
Right. Or, you know, if you reframe that and say use it and improve it is a much more positive spin.
Mm-hmm. I admit, actually, after attending your program, I changed my attitude about some things that challenge me, and we've been joking around with a computer because mm-hmm. that's something that I always have a lot of difficulty with, but also looking at stretching my environment to other topics that I have not been as well educated about or is interested in as besides. Now, with the Mastermind program, how did this evolve? How did this become developed?
I was retained by GADC Riverhouse to research brain training programs with the objective of creating a unique program for Riverhouse. And it took me about a year of research into existing programs, visiting programs, and there really was no model that existed throughout the state of Connecticut or in New York for a facilitated group brain training program. And it was the synthesis of my research and, I guess, coupled with my personality that gave birth to the Mastermind program that Riverhouse now offers.
Now, I think some of your graduates are still staying connected with each other. Is that correct?
Yes. There's a lot of secondary gains to participating in a class such as this. You know that I teach a class for the well elderly and then for folks in the early stages of diagnosed dementia or have memory deficits due to stroke. So what's happened is that, as you know, the peer group diminishes as one gets older. So social connectedness is a secondary gain to the brain training program. They're expanding their peer group. They're looking forward to this one-hour session once a week as another appointment. It's a safe place to forget, especially those that have a diagnosis. You know, we never talk about disease states. We just, you know, have a good time. I forget a lot of things, and I share everything that I forget. And it somewhat normalizes everyone's experience. And the friendships that are engendered are really something that we knew, but it was not to the extent that it's happened. In fact, those in my diagnosed group, I have some folks from the original class that I taught 2 years ago that are still with me, that want to stay together. There's five people that want to stay together at the same time to make certain that they go through this journey together with me. So that, I think that's very positive.
Now, you have two distinct groups that you are dealing with,
yes.
And the well elderly would be the worried elderly as well.
The worried well, the elderly. Yes, we have a lot of names for them. And these are just older adults experiencing normal age-related changes, and they're concerned about it. And maybe we should talk a little bit about what's normal.
I was going to say forgetfulness is normal, and I've often equated forgetfulness to 10 pounds in a 5-pound bag. So why should our brains be any different? But we do need a way to keep them moving, and I think mental stimulation, whether it's reading the newspaper, engaging in debate, doing challenging puzzles, choosing different routes to drive, all have a utilization of our brain activity.
Sure, there's a brain benefit to all of those activities that you described. It's important to understand, though, that as we age, there's a slower processing of information, which means that we can still learn new things. We can even have mastery over complex tasks, but it takes us a little bit longer to learn it. But once it's learned, we have the same degree of mastery as our younger counterparts. We have a diminished ability to multitask. Our attention span is not as keen or as focused as it once was. So that focused attention is something that we have to strive and practice. It just doesn't come naturally any longer. There's changes in perhaps our ability to be flexible. Perhaps we've adopted some attitudes throughout the lifespan that lend to some rigidity later in life. And those are those deeply entrenched routines, or I like to call them sometimes ruts. So there's an exploration sometimes of what is your routine, and are you in a rut, and are you amenable to changing some things? And even that is very positive in the long run. Now, there's changes in the chemical structure of the brain, or there's some brain shrinkage or loss of brain cells. But if you look at other physical factors that can impact memory, you look at hypertension, heart disease, stroke, diabetes, thyroid disorder, alcoholism, smoking, depression, infections. I mean, it's a wonder we can remember anything.
That's true. I had seen a video in preparation for this interview that referred to a British study of bus drivers and taxi cab drivers. And I thought it was very interesting because they were looking at the expansion of memory capability. Did you see the video?
I did.
What was it that was, I know it was frontal lobe related activity, but it diminished with the bus driver who had a prescribed route that he took day after day after day. And actually it got smaller. Whereas the taxi driver was always challenged by where he had to go and how to get there. And their abilities expanded. So That has to be exercise. That has to be cognitive training of some sort. If that works for a taxi driver, why wouldn't challenging mental tasks work for all of us?
And they do. And they do.
I just remember the first time in geometry when they had the fox, the chicken, and the corn, and they had to cross the river. And the cab driver, same thing. And you mentioned this actually with the class I attended of changing your route.
And I forgot to say that we have to take a break because we're up on time. So we're going to come back on the other side. And we're talking to Lori Contadino about memory training. Be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to The Healthy Aging Show, and our guest today is
Lori.
Please subscribe, recommend, and visit our website, healthyagingshow.com. Thanks for joining us at The Healthy Aging Show.
Lori Contadino.
I'm in the right place.
From River House in Greenwich, Connecticut. She is one of the gerontologists that is conducting brain training or cognitive training programs.
Lori, I was wondering, I've just started using, as an example, my GPS. Mm-hmm. I no longer will be paying attention to my route, to where I'm going, because I'm relying on the voice, and this also allows me to maybe daydream a little bit or be thinking as I'm driving. But are there technologies that we are using that help us with our memory? And some that may actually decrease our brain exercise, if you will, in our daily activities?
I think that technological advancements have been wonderful in helping us be perhaps more successful, better organized, taking on the ability to accomplish more and more and more, because that's just, you know, what our lives are all about. But I'll give you an example. My mom and dad have all of us programmed, my brothers and I, as memory one, memory two, memory three. And if you ask them what's my cell phone number, they don't have an idea at all. It would be just memory four. So what have we really accomplished? We've taken, my husband, similarly, he has no idea what my cell number is. So really, what have we done? It's not the best for brain training, but there's a different goal there. It's keeping us organized, having the ability to do more. It's not enhancing our cognitive capacity by relying on, you know, programming in numbers or voice recall, because you don't no longer have to remember the numbers.
That's a very interesting comment that you made, because I too rely on memory, and there are people that I call constantly that I haven't got a clue as to what their number is. And what if I needed to have that number because I didn't have the phone?
Right.
And what am I going to do? Tell an emergency medical worker that it's memory four?
it's you know, a problem.
Of course it is. He's going
to
dial memory four on his phone. He's going to get his girlfriend.
Right.
But he didn't remember her number either.
Probably not.
Okay, right.
I remember, too, just years ago being introduced to how people learn, the visual, audio, and more feeling. So as we age, now how do I accommodate what is my styling? Do I pay attention to the fact that I may be more of a visual person? Would it be considered a brain exercise that I'm using more of an audio component for my fitness that day?
Well, first of all, you want to start with an awareness of how you take information in. Most people, I would say, are not even aware that they're auditory learners or learn kinesthetically through their hands, through, you know, or how they take in information. Once you identify it, it's important because that's your most successful route of getting information in. And if memory, you can think of memory as the three R's, to receive information, to retain information, and to recall. All of those elements need to be in place in order to be successful with bringing up what it is that's important to you to remember. If the way that you take in information, if you're being bombarded through something visual, yet you are a much more hands-on person, chances are that information is not going to make it in. You're not going to get that information, or you're not receiving it into storage. So you want to utilize what your strengths are. You don't want to challenge yourself so much that you're not feeling successful. You want to build on your core strengths. And from there, you take things that are routine in your everyday life, and this is what we teach in the class, that, for example, as a warm-up, we take it that everyone knows the alphabet, but I have everyone say the alphabet backwards. You might read the New York Times every day or the Wall Street Journal, so we recommend that you read a paragraph upside down. And those become brain training activities, warm-ups for getting your brain jump-started by doing routine things in a non-routine way.
I'm just sitting here thinking, I don't know that I can recite the alphabet backwards.
Well, you know,
I can do parts of it, but
I can start you off. Z.
Thanks a lot.
Yes.
But if we test with that, would I would visually be looking at
the
letters of the
alphabet. And you know what? In order to be successful saying it backwards, most of us, in our minds, silently, I still have to say it forwards in order to say it backwards. So I can get through the first maybe five letters, and then I have to quickly sing my ABCs to that next letter and know it from there. Then when I reach the midpoint with only 13 letters left to go, it's a much easier task. Okay.
Well, I'm an accountant, so the upside down reading was something that we were all trained to do from the very get-go.
Perfect.
So I can do that. But the reversal of rote sayings, that is a challenge.
Right.
That
or
really
we do
is.
Calculations. You know, you count backwards from 100 by 4 and add 7, and then reduce 3 and add 5. And these are just the warm-ups. But I have to back up a little bit and say that stress reduction is very important, because everyone arrives, or everyone lives with, even if you're not taking a class of ours, with a high degree of stress. We're productive individuals. We want to accomplish a great deal. And I teach rhythmic deep breathing, just being able to do those cleansing breaths so that everyone can just bring their shoulders down, reduce the amount of stress they feel, so that we can be productive in the class. And you leave behind what you brought with you so that you can really attend to what it is that I'm teaching.
I think that that changes our attitude in such a positive way, because you and I had talked about the multitasking. And,
right.
And at this point, is there ever a point, actually, in age group where multitasking is still brain exercise as opposed to confusion when you're over 50?
You know, I think that simplifying your life sometimes leads to maybe for some better quality, for some mastery over what their life is, especially later in life. You know, when you're in your midlife, and I still have young kids, even though I'm a little older than I'd like to be. What I'm dealing with, working and raising a family and having parents that are in a little bit of a need right now, it's very challenging. So you have to prioritize, I have to simplify, and I have to recognize that I can't do everything that perhaps I once was able to do because the demands are just so great.
I don't remember. Did we talk about... Does changing or improving your attitude affect your ability to learn?
It changes your ability to learn and your ability to remember exponentially. A positive attitude means that you're open and receptive to new ways of doing things. A positive attitude also means that you have the confidence that you believe in yourself, that you can enhance this component of functioning, that you will be able to remember or come up with a strategy, perhaps with a little help from someone like myself, to, you know, where you should keep your keys or your cane or your glasses. And with some of the mnemonic strategies I teach, perhaps that would help. But if depression is at the core of the poor attitude, it's important to understand that depression robs you of the luster of life, and that depression is treatable. Depression can manifest itself as memory loss. And if you're experiencing memory loss that's impacting your ability to live your life on a daily basis, that's when you need to seek physician intervention and be assessed.
So you may want to have your annual, obviously your annual physical, but also take note if there's been traumatic or loss or something along the line of how, you know, how you're able to cope with memory.
In addition to the stress elements, though, nutrition plays a very critical role in our brain function. And, you know, it's garbage in, garbage out, or the wrong combination of stuff, or even pharmacologically, things that we may be taking, maybe taking in combination with supplements and vitamins. So, and maybe we're not taking them at the right time, or they counteract each other. All of these things play into the problem or perceived problem, and that's when the worry starts. But what I've also found in my own life is that my memory issues kind of come in waves. They become more questionable at times, and then I'm sharp as a tack.
Right. And I would look at what's going on at those specific times, perhaps when you're not as sharp as you'd like to be. Is there an increase in stress? Is there an infection? Is there something else that's going on that really is diminishing your cognitive capacity at that time?
Stress is definitely part
of
it.
Stress.
Sitting with Dawn on a regular basis can be stressful
I'm
for anybody.
I'm starting to understand that, actually. you know, there was a physician from the Mayo Clinic that said that what's good for the heart is good for the brain. If you look at optimal brain performance, there's really five areas of optimal functioning that we should live by, which is that we all need physical exercise, we need mental mental stimulation, diet and nutrition play a very key role. Stress reduction is critical, and emotional health and well-being. And having a balance in those five domains not only is optimal for heart health, but it's good for brain health. And I thought that that was a wonderful connection.
Makes a lot of sense.
It does.
Totally.
And I think that a lot of people who might be listening to us can relate to the issues that we're talking about. And I think, you know, if there's a message here, you can do something that's very positive for yourself. And no, this isn't something that can't be improved.
Right.
It's something that can be worked on. And God forbid you end up with something that becomes chronic. You can retard it.
Mm-hmm.
It can be slowed. Depending upon what it is and properly diagnosed, it may be reversed.
Correct.
There's
Correct.
Actually some great lifetime learner programs, not only with the senior centers, but also with some of the colleges as well. And can we actually have too much brain exercise per day, or what's a good dose?
Well, I guess it depends on what you want to accomplish, okay? I would say that like any new regimen, you want to start out slowly so that, you know, if I were to start going to the gym, I wouldn't go 6 days, you know, in the first week, because by the second week, I'm not going to go back. So I would say that you would start out slowly, maybe twice a week or 30 minutes. You want to find activities that are challenging and fun. If you've always done crossword puzzles, maybe you should cross over into a different domain and find something as mentally challenging to you, but slightly different. You know, through the Mastermind course, we work on verbal fluency, we work on spatial relationships, perception, flexible thinking, communication, all the very different domains of living and of memory. And there are a lot of computer-based programs if you can't get to GADC Riverhouse's Mastermind program. And I utilize a lot of the internet programs when I teach, because they have smart board technology at Riverhouse, and I'm able to go from my PowerPoint PDF right to the internet. And I use sites such as the AARP site, and they have so many games on the AARP site, and they actually tell you what they enhance. They enhance language or attention or verbal fluency. And once you've identified, once again, we go back to that, which area it is that you need to enhance, then you can pick the game that suits what your specific needs are.
Ray, how do people get in touch with you? I know there's a lot of questions out there that mm-hmm. people will want to follow up on.
Okay, they can call me directly at GADC Riverhouse. The number there is 203-622-0079. Prior to participating in any class, I request that someone comes in to meet me for about a half hour so that we can get to know each other and they're not meeting me for the first time on the day of class.
Now, is there a cost associated with this?
It's $85 for 8 weeks.
$85 for eight
yes.
weeks?
I'm quite a bargain.
You're
yeah.
cheap.
You are.
I'm
that's, cheap. That's an inexpensive lunch.
Now, is
yes.
it restricted to Greenwich residents, or
not
is it available
all.
To others?
Anyone that's interested in cognitive strengthening should give me a call.
Wow. $10 a session to improve right. your memory.
Mm-hmm.
What a deal.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that this was great. We want to thank you, and we will see you next week. Have a good week.
Please subscribe, recommend, and visit our website, healthyagingshow.com. Thanks for joining us at the Healthy Aging Show.